Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Kids Praise. God bless you. You're going to get to hear Sunbeam Kids next Sunday morning. So I hope that you'll be here for that as well. But we're grateful for both of those ministries, and they bless us in being a part of our worship service. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. In just a moment, I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 16. Thinking this morning about running for the prize. Running for the prize. Last Monday, I got to do something that I had not done previously, and I attended the regional, Christy and I attended the regional cross-country meet and watched four of Emory Baptist Church's members racing in that regional cross-country meet. There were two boys and there were two girls, and it took place at Lynn Creek Park in Grand Prairie, on the banks of Joe Pool Lake. There were 179 girls running for 2 miles in Class 3A, Region 2, and there were 182 males, Class 3A, Region 2, running 3.1 miles. And the prize that was before them was an opportunity to run at the state cross-country meet. And the top four female teams advanced, and the top four male teams advanced, and then some additional individual runners. Again, they were running for the prize of competing at the state meet. Well, this morning, Paul is going to use this racing analogy, this running analogy. But there's a different prize. There's a different prize for those who are running the race that Paul is talking about this morning. And the prize is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to look this morning as we continue in our study of Paul's letter to the Philippian church, here at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. If you have found that text, would you stand with me this morning in honor of the Word of God and follow along as I begin reading again Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul wrote, "Not that I have already attained it, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather with the people of God around the Word of God. Father, in these next few moments, we pray that you'd give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and give us a heart that is receptive to you and to your Word and its work in our lives. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Again, thinking this morning about running for the prize. Running for the prize. Now, if you have ever done any type of running, recreationally, competitively, whether last week or 50 years ago, there are some things that Paul is going to say to us here in today's text that probably make some sense, particularly as it relates to running a race. But remember, this morning, we're not talking about the opportunity to run at the state cross-country meet. We're talking about running for the prize that is Jesus Christ. Look there in the text, and he begins by reminding us of this. If we're going to run for the prize, we have to, first of all, forget what's in the past. Forget what's in the past. Look there in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. One thing I do, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And so, if you're a runner and you're running a race, you don't want to be thinking about that which you have just passed, whether that be an individual runner, whether that be a pothole that you almost broke your ankle in, or regardless of what that may be, you do not want to think about the past. So you want to forget those things which are behind. And as it relates to our life, our Christian life, and being a follower of Christ, notice how Paul describes himself there in verse 12. He says, number one, not that I've already attained it. Okay, so he's running this race, and in a very humble way, communicating to the Philippian church, not that I have already attained it. To say it another way, but to even go one step further, I'm not already perfected, is what he also says there in verse 12. And then in verse 13, a third way, but again saying the same thing, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I have not arrived. I'm not the best that I can be. I'm not perfect in any stretch of the imagination. But here's what I'm doing. I am forgetting what is behind me. I'm not worried about what's in the rearview mirror. Now, when we talk about the Christian life and we're talking about forgetting what's behind us, that may mean forgetting what's good, or it may mean forgetting what's bad. Think about for just a moment Paul. If you were here last Sunday morning, we talk about the Christian's greatest desire is to know Christ more. Amen? The Christian's greatest desire is to know Christ more. What Paul said was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Again, that's the prize. That's the prize. And Paul, if you will remember, he gave us his resume. He reminded us of his credentials. Look back at verses 5 and 6. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If you were here this past Wednesday night, we dug a little bit deeper. What does all that mean? And where did that come from? In short, Paul was reminding us of his very, very good genealogy. He came from good stock, if you will. And if anybody was going to be saved according to their genealogy, Well, it was the Apostle Paul. But he just didn't talk about his genealogy. He also talked about his morality, the end of verse 5, concerning the law of Pharisee, and then verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And so in Paul's mind, at that particular point in his life, all of those things were good. But then he met Christ. And when he met Christ, he considered all of those things loss compared to Christ. And so for Paul, forgetting what was behind meant some good things. However, there are also times in our life when forgetting what's behind is some bad things. Don't you know that the devil loves to remind us of our past? He loves to remind us of our past. He loves to remind us of our failures. And did you know there were multiple times when the Apostle Paul himself failed? Turn over to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I want you to see if you can identify with the Apostle Paul as I read this text. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14 and reading through verse 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Can you identify with Paul here? The very thing that you want to do, you don't end up doing. I want to be a better husband, but yet there are times that I'm not. I want to be a better pastor, but there are times that I'm not. I want to be a better son, but in the heat of the moment, there are times that I'm not. The devil loves to remind us of our failures. But Paul says, forgetting what is behind. You know, there's danger in looking back. If you're running a race and you have runners in front of you, and you have terrain in front of you, and maybe that terrain has a slight elevation or maybe takes a turn. Boy, it would be bad for you to look back and miss that runner that got in front of you or miss that change in elevation that happened in the course. You know, the Bible talks about looking back as well. There's one very well-known example of looking back and the encouragement not to look back. It's found in the book of Genesis. Turn over to Genesis 19 for just a moment. In the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's an example of where looking back cost someone their life. Listen to this story. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are there, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And so it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" And he said to him, "See, I favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. And the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. And so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. And listen to verse 26. But his life, this is Lot's wife, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. See, there's danger in looking back. And Paul says, forgetting what lies behind me. The Lord Jesus also encouraged us not to look back. Here's what he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so when we're talking this morning, brothers and sisters, about running for the prize, forget what is behind you. But secondly, back in Philippians chapter 3, not only do we want to forget what is behind us, but notice in verse 13, we want to reach forward to those things which are ahead. We want to reach forward, is what Paul says. And there at that cross-country meet, those 179 girls and those 182 boys, the overwhelming majority of them, I mean, they are running as fast as they can go. And we were standing close to the finish line. And you're watching these teenage girls and these teenage boys, and they are stretching for that finish line to get a few seconds faster. Well, that's the imagery that Paul has here in his letter to the Philippian church. Look there in verse 12. He says, "But I press on." And then again in verse 14, "I press toward the goal." You're like that runner, and you're giving it everything you've got with your eye on the prize. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he used a similar analogy. I think Paul was a fan of racing. Paul was a fan of these athletic competitions, and he oftentimes drew analogies. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes For the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And then I don't know if the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but regardless, that author also seems to have been a fan of running. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so again, it's this idea of pressing on. But you know what? It's interesting. As I looked around and I saw all of these guys and these girls, and it wasn't just 3A, it was happened to be the odd classifications, and I don't mean odd as in weird, but 1A, 3A, and 5A that were running that day. So there were a lot of runners. And the overwhelming majority of them, they were running, they were sprinting, they were going as fast as they could for as long as they needed to for the prize. But you know what? There were a few. They're just kind of looking around, just taking a stroll on the banks of Joe Pool Lake. They were just content in being out of school on Monday. They didn't have any interest in competing for the prize. They were just thankful to be out of school. And you know what? As I look across the room this morning, the overwhelming majority of you, you are running for the prize that is before you, which is Jesus Christ. And you are doing everything you can with everything you have for that goal of Jesus Christ. However, there are a few of you, if truth be told, you're just completely content with fire insurance. And that's all you're worried about. Just making sure that you have just enough of Jesus so that you make heaven and miss hell. Paul said, forgetting what's behind me, pressing on to what's in front of me. And then number three, making for certain that we understand what the prize is, and that is Jesus. Look at verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained it, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. We have seen Paul's plea earlier in the letter. His plea for unity to the congregation. And we see it here again. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let us all understand the prize is not the American dream, brothers and sisters. The prize is not early retirement. The prize is not even our team winning the championship. The definitive, only, singular prize is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says there. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The American dream is fine in and of itself. Early retirement is fine in and of itself. Our team winning the championship is fine in and of itself. But for the follower of Christ, those have to be secondary compared to the prize of Jesus Christ. And so an invitation that I want to give to you this morning. If you're here today and you've never entered into the race, you've never started the race, today I want to invite you to begin running after Jesus. Admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sin, and calling on the name of the Lord to save you. If you've never entered into the race this morning, in just a few moments, after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand and sing. Brother Chris comes to lead us, and I'll be here at the front, and Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And regardless of whether you are man or woman or boy or girl, if you have never entered into the race of the Christian life, today we would invite you to put your faith and trust in Christ. But can I speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ for just a moment before we conclude? Can I encourage you this morning in your walk with Jesus that whatever is in your past, good or bad, forget it. You haven't arrived. I haven't attained it. We are not where we can be. Forgetting what is behind and pressing toward the goal. And again, let's make sure that we are all on the same page. That goal is being more like Christ. How do we do that, brothers and sisters? It's captured in one word: obey. Obey. Obey what the Lord wants from us. And you know what that is. Commitment to Him, first and foremost. I want to leave you this morning with a very well-known quote from a famous American missionary to Ecuador. His name was Jim Elliot. And Jim Elliot gave his life, literally, for the gospel of Jesus Christ among natives in Ecuador. Here's what he said. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Brothers and sisters, you cannot keep your life. You cannot keep your American dream. You cannot keep your early retirement. You cannot keep your championship apparel. It will go to the grave with you. You cannot keep it. But when you give your life for Christ, you will not lose it. That cannot be taken from you by the devil or anyone else. And so rather than being content with just simply having fire insurance today, can I invite you to, with everything that you have and everything that you are, press toward the goal of Jesus Christ. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as I said a moment ago, Brother Chris is going to come and lead us in our hymn of invitation, our song of commitment. Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. We'd love to welcome you this morning and greet you and pray with you and celebrate with you, counsel with you. If today you would enter the race of the Christian life, calling on the name of the Lord to save you. Maybe you're a guest this morning and God is leading you and your family to be fully committed and on board to Emory Baptist Church through church membership. We'd love to welcome you today. Maybe God has spoken to you this morning to quit being content. Quit being content with a Monday out of school and running the race for the prize that is set before you with everything you have and all that you are. Maybe brother or sister in Christ today, God is calling on you to recommit or rededicate your life to Him and to His way and to His will. Hope that you'll feel the freedom this morning to come and pray. Feel the freedom to do business with the Lord wherever you are. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful today for Paul's challenge. His challenge to us to forget what is behind and to press on to what is ahead. And to be clear that the prize is Jesus. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Draw us unto you. Mold us and shape us more into the image of Christ. And we commit this invitation to you in our time together. In Jesus' name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us. Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Would you come today responding to God's Word?